Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're continuing a conversation with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine about the church growth movement. We invite your phone calls and your email, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and that in-studio email address. We're broadcasting live from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, on day one of our Issues Etc. Chicago Reformation Tour. We can still get that email right here in the studio, even though the studio's moved, about 300 miles north. IssuesETC@KFUO.org. IssuesETC@KFUO.org. Aaron Wolf is Associate Editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture. Aaron, welcome back for the second hour.
Thanks very much, Todd.
Let's talk with Ron, who's been waiting in Southern California. Ron, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Well, thank you. I noticed that the brand new issue of Time Magazine has a cover story and asks the question, does God want you to be rich? And it features people like Joel Osteen and their theology, just like the church growth movement that you've been talking about. I'm wondering what your opinion is on how the church is going to counteract some of this publicity and some of this ridicule, really, that the general American public is reading on these different topics.
It's a great question. Now, he mentioned Joel Osteen. He's been a subject on this program many times. He pastors the largest megachurch in the United States. I think he is currently getting very close to 40,000 people
Incredible.
A week in Houston, Texas, at Lakewood Church. He's got a television program nationally and internationally syndicated. And many people see Joel as the next wave of church growth. And, of course, there is a fair amount of ridicule when you're kind of out there on the avant-garde. First, respond to Ron's question about how that makes Christianity look to the unbelieving public.
It's interesting. Rick Warren was at a recent Pew Forum, and he was asked a question sort of similar to that. He talked about how, in response, how he was tired of the ridicule that was heaped upon evangelicals because of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. And of course, you know, many would say that Warren himself is doing the same thing through the whole fascination that our country had for that brief time with the purpose-driven life. You know, the faithful church is the faithful church is the faithful church. And movements in the culture and in history come and go. You know, you think back to the time of the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century when Arianism was rampant. You think about the idea that so many people across what we now call Europe believed that Jesus was just a man, and this was the dominant form of so-called Christianity. And yet the faithful church remained faithful and contended for the truth of God's word, and ultimately hammered out the beautiful statement that we continue to confess in so many of our churches, the Nicene Creed. The ridicule is significant, but as St. Paul tells us in the pastoral epistles in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, that our character as Christians is one antidote, that we, by being hearers of the gospel, God is transforming our lives, and we are different from the prosperity gospel folks. We are different from those who are living in these suburban and very self-centered churches. We give sacrificially, and we respond to the gospel joyfully and freely, with these works of charity and in the world that do distinguish us, and we continue to contend, as I said, for the truth.
Along with our phone calls and our email, we've got a live in-studio audience tonight at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. And one of our listeners here, our audience members, has a question. What's your name? What's your question?
I'm Joel from right here in Brookfield. One can go to any bookstore nowadays and buy the latest How to Be a Better Salesman, or I mean, there are just dozens and dozens of business-type books, Drucker and different kind of models that come and go. Strikes me that There's an awful lot of similarities between the church growth movement and these kind of business-type books. I wonder which came first. I mean, is the church growth movement not anything particularly new? They just kind of borrowed a lot of this stuff from other selling techniques? And the second part of my question would be a little bit more broad. John Dewey really affected education and seeing schools preparing good consumers for our society, an industrialist society, and so forth. And I wonder if you see church growth in the context of the bigger picture of a Deweyist kind of culture.
Thank you very much, Joel. Good question. Aaron?
The second question, church growth is, I see it in terms of history as a product of the Enlightenment. And you mentioned John Dewey. All the modernist movements, I think, are various incarnations of the same principle that begins back there in this so-called Age of Lights that sought to tear down all of the traditional authorities and place man as the measure of all things and the center of thought. And, you know, the problem with, unfortunately, with the type of Christianity that tries to sell itself to and create customers or clients is that it reinforces the mentality of the culture that gave birth to it, which culture itself was forged in an effort to deny the authority of the church and of the Word of God, and thereby deny the power of God.
Another question from our audience here. Your name and your question, please.
Vicar Rice from Lombard, Illinois. And, talking about church growth, we would agree, I think, and one thing that you're addressing is that one problem that they're doing, I would say, to the family and to the body of the church is that they're dividing families and generations by tailoring, you know, this one church to a specific group. But how would you, looking at ourselves, how would you diagnose the case in many Lutheran churches that do already seem to be deficient, like in young members, younger families? There's not that many in a number of churches. Who or how have we let this generation arise that does not know the church, or at least not the confessional historical Lutheran church?
That's an excellent question, Vicar. Thank you very much.
It's as if the vicar read my mind and knew exactly what I wanted to talk about.
All right.
Because this is an interesting church growth question. Where are the young people? Where are the children? And, there's an answer is that we're just not having them. There was a lot of talk over the last 10 years or so about how the mainline denominations were declining in numbers while the what would be considered conservative evangelical denominations were growing or at least holding steady. It's interesting that some sociologists have come to the conclusion that all of that can be explained in terms of demographics, that mainline denominations through their acceptance and widespread use of contraception have just stopped having babies and having them baptized and sort of catechized into their faith, their version of Christianity.
You kind of have to have the next generation to have the next generation in church, right?
Yes, that's right. It's okay. The problem of the Cathars and Shakers and other groups who just thought that even the marital union itself was sinful. Well, they died out pretty quickly for obvious reasons. The thing is that the trend, the disparity between the growth rates of mainline, more liberal Protestantism and what we consider conservative evangelicalism, that trend is tapering. It's equalizing because American evangelicals today are contracepting at the same rate, and they are not having, in fact, they're not keeping up with U.S. population growth, and there are numbers of studies about this. So setting aside the moral and, I think, grave evil of contraception, practically speaking, We just aren't replacing ourselves. And, you know, for Baptists and for those who really emphasize decision theology and an age of accountability, maybe that's not as big of a deal in terms of church growth. For those of us who think that that suffer the little children to come unto me means that you can baptize a baby and faith and the Holy Ghost are part of that experience, that's a significant question.
A much bigger problem. We'll be right back. Talk more about church growth with Aaron Wolf after this.
Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the important work of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief.
It has done a remarkable job of joining acts of mercy to the center of Christian theology, namely Christ and his saving work for us. There in the past has been a tendency to do one or the other, that is, on the one hand, to proclaim the gospel and neglect the very real human needs, or the opposite extreme has been to tend to human needs but not to bring the saving gospel of Christ to bear. And Pastor Harrison and his staff share with us the conviction that these two go hand in hand.
Find LCMS World Relief at our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-888-930-4438.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are three levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. And the reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today by making a gift payable to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, you knew we had to get around to playing that one sooner or later. We've actually got the whole thing to play at the end of the program, hopefully. You can't go to Chicago without letting Sinatra serenade you on the way out of a two-hour radio program. Aaron Wolf is our guest. What's that?
The town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down.
That's right. That's my favorite line in the... I hope I don't offend too many people. That's my favorite line in the entire song. Aaron Wolf is our guest. We're talking about the church growth movement. He's associate editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture. Okay, I was watching this morning a retrospective on Billy Graham, just the briefest of answers here so we can go back to the phones. I was watching a retrospective on Billy Graham, and they were showing Billy Graham a la 1950s, when he was a very dynamic preacher. This was CNN. He had a Bible in his hand, and the one quote they had from him is, "The Old Testament looks forward to him, the New Testament looks back upon him. No matter how you read the Bible, Jesus is the center of Scripture." Mm. And I thought to myself, especially in light of what we're talking about tonight, the church growth movement, many of whom herald Billy Graham as the guy who showed them how.
Yeah.
That has been lost. Jesus as the center of Scripture. Briefest of comments.
It's a chicken egg question. You know, which came first, the switch in the culture in not recognizing the church's authority to speak the law and speak the gospel to it, and then, you know, believe it or ignore it, it will, or the changing of the message following these church growth principles that we've been talking about to accommodate or translate the message to the culture. If you're preaching a message to the culture that is telling it that really I don't have any authority, or that is God's word doesn't have authority, but rather I'm trying to find something that will appeal to you, well, then that's how the culture is going to look at you. And so the preaching, even Billy Graham's own preaching, has sort of followed that that shift.
Listening to us on WEMI, not too far away in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, Tim is on the line. Tim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
I'd like to know, are the church movements people like Joel Osteen, who's real popular, are they more interested in filling pews or getting people into heaven?
It's an excellent and very brief question. What do you think?
It's so difficult. Really, it's impossible to evaluate someone's motives. But the very methods themselves and the tremendous sense of wealth and prosperity that someone like an Osteen surrounds himself with, or a Rick Warren who is very bold in trumpeting his own success, his own influence and power. The way he told the Pew Forum, these journalists gathered together in Washington, you know, that I just signed a copy of my book for Fidel Castro, and that he requested. That type of presentation, so ostentatious, really sort of invites that type of questioning. And that is where, you know, compared to our Lord, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. You know, quite a contrast there from the type of display, really, that the church growth gurus have.
You mentioned before, I guess one of our audience members here mentioned Peter Drucker. Have you been able to track down whether or not Peter Drucker actually is as big an influence on Rick Warren of late? Peter Drucker being this really amazing marketing guru, but not a Christian.
Speaking of that Pew Forum, here's a quotation from Rick Warren. He says, "I spoke at Harvard last month." He's kind of rattling off this list of how influential he is, things he's done. "I did a series of lectures to the faculty in the Kennedy School and also in the law school. I spoke to several groups of faculty and several groups of students, and I started with this quote from Peter Drucker." And then he goes on. Drucker says, "The most significant sociological phenomenon of the first half of the 20th century was the rise of the corporation. And the most significant sociological phenomenon of the second half of the 20th century has been the development of the large pastoral church, of the megachurch. It is the only organization that is actually working in society." End quote. So now Warren goes on. Now, Drucker has said this at least six times. I happen to know because he's my mentor. I've spent 20 years under his tutelage learning about leadership from him, and he's written it in two or three books, and he says he thinks it's the only thing that really works in society. So, he's claiming right there the tremendous influence of this marketing strategist. And Drucker himself asking that question of what's influencing what, and sort of the give and take of the corporate mentality and the megachurch mentality. And now that these secular corporations are actually sending, you know, the business leaders of tomorrow to a place like Willow Creek to learn from a Bill Hybels.
I want to come back to the pragmatism that you just mentioned, but first let's talk with Rick. He's listening in Mississippi, and he listens on XM Radio. Hi, Rick.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Very well.
Good, thank you.
Hey, listen, I wanted to make a statement and then, you know, catch Mr. Wolf's follow-up on it or catch his ideas on this, but I think one of the things that can attribute to the church growth is the lack of church discipline, you know, and when you have lack of discipline, you tend to create an atmosphere where people can cuddle with their sin, number one, and if you have a church that you go to that instills church discipline, then you might see that 10% tithe walk out the front door.
Very good question, Rick, and a comment there. What do you make of his take on this, a lack of church discipline in the church growth movement? Is it a necessary part of marketing the church?
The church growth movement probably couldn't have come along and had the success that it has had unless there were real problems and issues in the larger culture of American Christianity. So, you know, as other historical movements have come and gone, there are when there's a lack, something steps in to try to fill the void. And it is true that there was a tremendous sense of liberal chaos that was going on in American Christianity that the church growth movement saw, or the leaders of it, McGavran and C. Peter Wagner, and saw a world, a country, a nation whose people were less and less Christian, saw churches that were losing members and numbers, and sought using their own theological background to fill that need. The lack of a sense of discipline among the church growth movement, that has been addressed to some extent. The Richard Foster Celebration of Discipline, you know, he comes from the same, from Fuller out there, just another perspective from that, from the place where church growth was born.
We're talking with Aaron Wolf tonight on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Aaron is Associate Editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture. We're talking about the church growth movement. When we come back from this break, more of your phone calls and your email here on Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, day one of our Chicago Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Someone once said that I'm going to paraphrase here, if you marry yourself off to the spirit of the age, you will very soon find yourself a widower. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about what seems to be a comfortable marriage between the church growth movement and pop American culture. But can the marriage last? Or maybe we should ask it this way. Can the church remain the church if it marries itself off to the spirit of the age, if it follows the wandering star of culture and the siren song that promises again and again and again, we will make you relevant? Can the church remain the church under the church growth movement? Pastor Mark Schaefer, Coordinator of Continuing Education and Related Events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, you know, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our lay people understand their role and how they fit in the church, you know, I think it's good for the church's mission, it's good for the church's service, it's good for the worship life of the church, too.
To find out about the fall retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, including a lay leadership retreat and a Christian Vision for Love and Marriage conference, check out their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them, area code 260-452-2204. Equipping the priesthood of all believers, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives, something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy, or a bed, or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it. How are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matango Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul.
1-1 is 2, 2-2 is 4. I see my brother Jake coming through that door.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 more minutes in our conversation with Aaron Wolf on the Church Growth Movement. Aaron is Associate Editor of Chronicles Magazine, a magazine of American culture. Got another audience listener at St. Paul Brookfield here at the mic. What's your name and what's your question?
Kristen from Forest Park, Illinois. A large Lutheran congregation that I visit often recently stopped their contemporary worship service. Apparently, a main problem was finding enough lay people who had enough investment of time to be able to lead and coordinate the service. Is this happening elsewhere, or is it an isolated case?
Great question, Kristen. You know, one of the things that comes in with the church growth movement is, and Warren's the big proponent, you got to change the music, change the culture, change the worship, and make it all contemporary and very culturally relevant. But it sounds like at least one case it's turned around. What's your response?
It is kind of unique that a church would abandon the church growth movement altogether. But the difficulty they experience is not uncommon at all. You know, the effort to do what church growth gurus call excellence, that is to have music that rivals that of the secular pop culture, drama that has a high quality acting, and particularly these sermons, you know, 45 minutes of a message that you know, where one is almost imitating or incarnating Bill Hybels. That's very difficult. It's taxing, and you know, a lot of times it breaks the budget because you have to pay people, enough people on your staff to be able to compose those things. And so oftentimes there's a tremendous, tremendous push for money and volunteers when the church growth movement really takes hold.
You mentioned off the air a few minutes ago that a lot of churches, in the face of that, have simply been doing what we call in broadcasting simulcasting the big mega churches. You go to church on Sunday morning, you sit, and you watch a screen of church happening someplace else.
Yes, that's right. And talk about marketing, then Willow Creek has sort of perfected this, because through the Willow Creek Association, your church sort of pays per month according to its size, its number, and you can then select from this library of professionally crafted resources of sermons and video and illustrations, drama, scripts, music, new music, you name it. And there's a lot of money tied up in that as well. But that goes hand in hand with a culture of marketing and an idea of the gospel that it is a product to be sold.
This is an email that comes from William in Cincinnati. He writes this: I just wanted to take a moment to share my experience with this movement and why I think it's dangerous. I became a believer about 7 years ago and quickly went looking for a church. I had been raised in a Baptist home, so I knew all about salvation, or so I thought. So what I was looking for in a church was a place where I could heal hurts, mend fences, make friends, etc., hear some Bible stories, and maybe hear the gospel preached to me one Sunday morning a month, or for the new people. He says, I found what I was looking for in a local large Assembly of God church and settled in. His story continues. About 6 months later, I took a comparative religion class in college and was assigned to do a report on religion, the religion of my own choosing. I chose Wicca. During my research, I became more and more interested in learning about this religion. Even after my report was done, I found myself on the internet surfing different Wiccan websites, finding myself drawn in. All this time, I am not hearing the gospel. I am not developing doubts, and I am developing doubts, he says. Eventually, I made contact with some Wiccans, and we discussed my participation in a ritual. But God did not allow me to cross this line. I was invited to a gospel-preaching church and decided I would not renounce my faith and convert. That was about 5 years ago, and he says, I'm finishing up my undergraduate work and plan to enter the seminary in the next couple of years. And that kind of goes, that email from William in Cincinnati kind of goes to the lack of that sustaining gospel that's being preached in these churches and how people can, they can get drawn away in just about anything if the truth of the gospel is not being proclaimed.
Yes, at some point, you know, that attempt at identifying what we talked about earlier, the homogeneous unit principle, very sociological fancy term there, but really just a way of saying perceiving and articulating the felt needs of a people, cannot cover all the bases, cannot appeal to everyone week in and week out. And so, you know, the effort that has to be put in to accomplish that is something beyond the capacity and that of people, and that's why one church, mega church, rises and another, and then falls, another one replaces it. But what sustains and what never fades in its power is God's word. And again, I'm not talking about the saying, you know, get saved or make a decision for Christ. No, the gospel, God's word of our forgiveness, is Christ and Christ crucified. And the idea that just declaring that your sins are forgiven because of what Christ did on the cross, and that you have a part in that resurrection, that Jesus, as he was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago, that in and of itself has the power to transform you, to give you new life, is a message that just never gets old. It's an, or rather, a methodology that never gets old. You know, Martin Luther says in his large catechism, places, times, persons, and the entire outward order of worship have therefore been instituted and appointed in order that the Word of God may exert its power publicly. Now that's an idea that God's Word is something powerful. It's so powerful it just cannot be restrained. It goes out there and it grabs a hold of sinners and it saves them. The church growth mentality is the opposite. It's almost ashamed of relying on the pure Word of God. It says we have to help. We have to tear down this cultural barrier. We have to supply the right kind of music.
It's a weak word of God, not a powerful word of God.
It is. And therefore, where is the confidence? Where is the trust? Where is the faith? Well, the faith ultimately then defaults to my ability, my willingness to work harder to craft a new method.
Michael listens in Richmond, California on KFAX. Michael, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
God bless you, brother. Amen. A couple of things quickly I'd like to say. First of all, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ preached the exact same message. And the apostles preached the same message. And out of Colossians 2 and 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I also will make this closing statement that there are so many people confessing Christ, but they have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, which Jesus said that, or actually John the Baptist said that Jesus would give the people. He said,
Michael, thank you for the call, Michael. Laying aside the rather long conversation that would follow from his last comment, because our time is short and we want to stay on the subject here, he did make a point that the gospel that John proclaimed in advance of Christ, that all the prophets before proclaimed in advance of Christ, that Christ proclaimed, the apostles proclaimed, has not changed. How do you respond to the church growth movement when they say, and they say this to a man, really, we're not changing the message, we're just changing the method, or we're not changing, in Ted Haggard's terms, the product, we're just flavoring it to appeal to different people in different situations. It sounds so innocuous.
It does, but then you look at what is the words that are actually being spoken, and the message has been changed. You know, the reason our Lord was born of the Virgin Mary, entered human flesh, and bled and died on the cross was really had nothing to do with the felt needs of unbelievers, because the unbelieving heart, it's enmity with God. You see, so what Scripture teaches us is that our felt needs are quite frankly wrong. They're out of place. And yet when church growth pastors and gurus go upset about the task of preaching what they call the gospel, then quite often what they do is present a different need, not one of redemption, not one of the forgiveness of sins, but one of meeting these felt needs. And so just in setting aside issues of musical style and taste and the ability of some of these other media to convey the truth of God's word, what they are saying is different.
All right, a quick email and we'll get your response on the other side of this break. It comes from Paul in Milwaukee. He writes, Mr. Wolf, the layman educated about church growth on issues, etc., after investigation and thought with his Bible in hand, concludes his longtime unease with his congregation is due to church growth in full flower. He prays. He sees his pastor and the lay leadership. The pastor claims to be orthodox and interested in the lost and points to increased numbers in his tenure. The lay leadership says the same, as do many of the church friends he sees. But they see church growth songs and skits and practical preaching as a help. He persists. The members avoid him. Some suggest he find another church. Finally, he rents a hall and enlists an orthodox pastor to debate the 95 theses of the church growth versus sin and salvation by grace through faith. He invites the congregation, including free food. 13 people turn up. What else can he do? When we come back from this break, we'll get Aaron Wolf's response. It sounds like one of those people in the Wall Street Journal story that we were talking about before, a popular strategy for church growth splits congregants. People who want to stand up against it find themselves against an unmovable force. We'll be right back.
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith.
These are some of the most familiar words ever written by Martin Luther. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September is called Listening to Luther. It's an audio CD and booklet of Luther's Small Catechism, with hymns that match each of the catechism's six parts: the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Absolution, and the Lord's Supper. You can order Listening to Luther by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This isn't your grandfather's church. God is doing a new thing. deeds, not creeds. You've heard Christians say things like this. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal titled Things Christians Say But Shouldn't. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's wrong with statements like, a church for our generation, be all you can be Christianity, or reinventing church? Find out with the Next Issues Etc. journal. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Dr. Chris Mitchell's journey from skeptical atheism to the certainty of the gospel. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. Ask for a free complimentary copy, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Little ZZ Top there. The album is Tres Hombres, by the way. Jesus Just Left Chicago. I do not know what that has to do with anything, Jeff. But it had Chicago in it, so he wanted to play it in the bump music. Actually, it won out over some other ones, which, since I think this is our last break, we're not going to get to The Night Chicago Died. That would have been a tough one to fit into the show. We're talking about the church growth movement. Aaron Wolf is our guest. 10 more minutes on this subject. The email from Paul before the break, this is a guy who found himself in a church growth congregation, finally recognized it, tried to deal with the congregation, both pastor and congregation, invite him to leave. He wants to stay and to see the truth prevail over against what he sees the disintegration of his congregation. And kind of reaches this point where he's not getting much response from anybody. What else is he to do?
Well, he has to remember that, you know, unless the seed and the plant is nurtured and watered, it can die. And, you know, at some point we run into the wall and we say, there's nothing else we can do. We have to realize that not only for ourselves, but for our wife and children, oftentimes, we need to be hearing that word ourselves. Because, you know, faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word preached. And so we have to go where that is, where the word is rightly preached and the sacraments are rightly administered. Or else we run a risk ourselves. Because if salvation isn't based on our decision, but on the work of Christ and the faith that is given us as gift, then we need to be receiving that gift through the proper preached word.
Another audience question. Hear your name and your question, please.
Of Richard, Highland Park, Illinois. A question dealing with worship and the concept there as we would think about it and in the church growth movement. And here you have small groups where the homogeneity can be in the small group but not in the large group possibly. And worship is done there or not done there. What is the purpose or function of worship?
That's an excellent question. And I imagine that the answer to that question has changed over the 30 years of the church growth movement. But in its current state, its current manifestation, Aaron, what is the purpose of Sunday morning or any other time worship in the church, according to the church growth movement?
Well, oftentimes the church growth movement makes use of the tradition that is in American culture that you go to church on Sunday morning to offer a service that's tailored not for believers gathered to hear God's word and receive his sacraments, but rather for that service that Willow Creek calls the seeker service, and that's what they do on Sundays, that is tailored to stimulate a decision and tear down those cultural barriers that we talked about. So that is really the seeker service phenomenon, I think, is a creation of Bill Hybels. It's not altogether new, though. I mean, there are aspects of it that he draws from Robert Schuller, and I think many in our audience have seen the Crystal Cathedral and seen that type of what they call worship, where there are a lot of performances and really preparation, softening of the heart to hear this message of positive thinking. And that, of course, you can trace that back to the last century and D.L. Moody in the 1860s, traveling around with a professional singer to sort of soften the hearts of the audience to help them make a decision. All of that is called worship today, but that's not how the church has worshiped over 2,000 years of her history, not according to God's word. Because what we find that we're not to forsake in the assembling of ourselves together is to hear God's word preached. And I mean preached, declared, the gospel, on the gospel declared, and to receive the holy sacraments. And that is something that, especially sacraments, that don't have a place at all in the church growth movement, and nor in what is called the worship service.
One thing, very quickly, I got to wonder about. It's odd that a service that's designed for seekers, or I would just say unbelievers, tell me whether they're believers or not. I don't know. People look for all sorts of things. They seek all sorts of things. Are they believers? A service purposefully designed for unbelievers on the weekend has them singing songs of praise to God and singing all about Jesus, whom, if the method works, they don't believe in him yet. What's going on there?
Well, in the case of Willow Creek, they don't sing songs to Jesus. They listen to performances of pop music about Jesus, or loosely, really just about life and or God or feelings of anxiety. But then across the board, because there are so many imitators out there and so many who are trying to adopt those techniques that they've learned through the many books and the Willow Creek Association, or from Rick Warren and the Purpose Driven Church, well, then there is this tendency sort of to confuse those two and have essentially unbelievers, you know, mouthing along words that are really a confession of faith, is something they don't believe.
Herman's calling from Illinois. Thank you for waiting. He listens on KSIV. Hi, Herman.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask your guest to comment on this. It's not only the evangelical circles that are trying this church growth, but even the declining liberal denominations seem to have it in them. And they try to do it by taking a keynote of celebrating or including the homosexual lifestyle and person who they emphasize ontologically is that way and not a sinner in need of repenting of it, and then becomes the keynote with which all other human diversities are supposed to be brought into the church and celebrated in kind of a conga line around the latest contemporary worship style service. But it really doesn't, in their case, seem to be really working very well. They're still declining.
All right, Herman, thank you very much. 1 minute, no more, to respond to Herman's concern there about church growth, even in the declining mainline liberal denomination.
I just add to that it's not working anywhere, really. There's a tremendous amount of what we call transfer growth, and nailing down the numbers on this is very difficult because critics claim that it's all transfer growth from small, unhip congregations, and the mega churches deny that, and everyone can sort of manufacture. But the reality is that the overall percentage of Christians in the United States, however that's defined and in many ways that it's defined, is just declining a percentage point almost every 3 or 4 years. And so just because more people go to a megachurch, which is defined now as a church that has 2,000 or more attending or as members on a given Sunday, just because more people go to those and then the churches, the smaller and middle-sized churches, close down, is not an indication that these principles, even on a practical level, work.
Here's our mailing address and our phone number. You can use them to receive a free complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. journal, or you can partner with us by making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Our address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Aaron Wolf is associate editor of Chronicles Magazine. You can find Chronicles Magazine at chroniclesmagazine.org. It's all one word, chroniclesmagazine.org. Aaron, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming out and joining us at St. Paul Lutheran in Brookfield for day one of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour.
Thank you very much. It was a real honor. Thank you.
Special thanks to Pastor Ben Ball and Pastor Joel Brondos and the Congregation of St. Paul Lutheran here in Brookfield for hosting the first day of our Chicago Issues Etc. Reformation Tour, for staying up late with us, for giving us food, for allowing me a few brief moments in the pulpit this morning. Thank you very much. Give yourselves a round of applause. You know, it strikes me, the more the church becomes like the culture, the more the church becomes like the culture. It seems almost self-evidently true. A church that says we need either to mimic the culture or marry the culture in order to reach the lost has lost faith. Now, I'm not saying there aren't Christians there, but a church that says consciously, against the warnings of people like Aaron Wolf and Issues Etc. and many others, say we need to mimic the culture or marry the culture to finally reach the lost, they've lost faith in the Savior who says he will build his church, who has rather successfully, in spite of gross mismanagement on our part for the last 2,000 years, built his church across cultures, across times, across languages. They've lost faith in his word, that gospel that proclaims his as the only Savior of sinners, and it is the power of salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listening through to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.